there's three different tracks for halachas Ner Chanukah. And it's not just chumras, and it's not just madregos. There's three legitimate tracks when it comes to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Klausberg Rebbe wonders why that is. It's very strange. So much so, if you look in the Bir Halacha, in Tafresh Ayin Aleph, Hilchos Chanukah, the Chafetz Chaim says that even though we have a klal generally in Halacha, Achlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Maybe some of you saw the Tosos in Sukkah and Daf Gimel, places where we paskin like Beis Shammai, Sukkah being one of those examples. Right? But generally we paskin like Beis Hillel. And we know from the Mishnayos and the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Brachos, that when we paskin like Beis Hillel, you don't have a shus to do like Beis Shammai. It's not an option. It's off the table. Rabbi Tarfon was on the road, Mishnah Brachos, and he tried to do like Beis Shammai, and he put his life in danger, and they said, good, you deserve it for paskin like Beis Shammai. It's not the halacha. Don't try to know better than the halacha. And yet here, says the Chafetz Chaim in Bir Halacha, Siman Tafresh Ayin Aleph, in Hilchos Chanukah, that Beis Shammai, even though we paskin like Beis Hillel, most of the Holech, 1-8, but Beis Shammai also still has a place within the halacha. Which is very strange. Why is the halacha of Chanukah so open? Why is it so open in so many different ways? You do it your way, I'll do it my way. What's the pshat? Again, Klal Yisrael is knowing Mahajim and Mahajim. I don't know anyone who does Ner Ishu Beso. But there is such a legitimate track in halacha. And the Klausberg Rebbe wonders why that is. So I'll tell you a maisa. A maisa I heard from a tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael. A mashal. He said, imagine there's a bear that's wandering in the forest, and the bear is hungry. And the bear's looking for food, and he's looking for food, and he's looking for food, and he's looking for food. And he's very unsuccessful. And he realizes, if I don't find food soon, I'm going to die. So the bear decides, you know what? Better than to die a hungry bear in the forest, better I should turn myself over to the zoo. I'll live in a cage, but at least I'll have food. So the bear shows up at the zoo, knocks on the door. The zookeeper opens the door, Shalom Aleichem, he's a Jewish bear, Mr. Tama. Shalom Aleichem, how are you? He says, hi, I'd like to apply for the position of bear. So the zookeeper is thinking. He says, the truth is, we have a bear. We have several bears. Last week, one of our monkeys died. Maybe you could be the monkey. Maybe you could play the role of the monkey. So he says, well, what do you mean be a monkey? I'm a bear. How am I supposed to be a monkey? I'm a bear. So he says, well, listen, you know, you'll act like a monkey. He says, I don't know how to act like a monkey. My instinct is like a bear. He says, listen, we'll train you. You know, we'll teach you how to peel the bananas. We'll teach you how to make weird monkey noises. We'll teach you how to climb trees and swing from vines. We'll teach you the whole thing. So the bear says, listen, it's either that or going back to the forest and starving to death. Okay, I'll be a monkey. Fine. So the bear undergoes a whole period of training, and it's difficult for him. He's a big guy, you know, it's hard for him to climb the trees, but okay, he's playing the role of a monkey. Now, monkeys don't eat as much as bears. So as the days go by, and he's getting his ration of food, he says, this is crazy, I'm not going to make it like this either. This doesn't work for me. This is enough food for a monkey, but I'm a bear. So he decides to go for a walk in the zoo. It's a mushroom, he can do whatever you want, you know? So he walks out of his cage, he starts walking around. I'm sure some little girls were scared. Bear on the loose. Yeah, he walks a little bit around the zoo, and he sees a big sign, B-E-A-R-S, bears. So he walks up, and he looks in the cage, and he sees there's a monkey in the cage. And he sees there's a big pile of food also. So he says, excuse me, who are you? So he says, I'm a bear. He says, you're not a bear, you're a monkey. He says, well, you know, when I got to the zoo, right, and I wanted to apply for the position of monkeys, all the positions of monkeys were taken. So they asked if I could be a bear, so I took the role of a bear. So he says, what's with all the extra food? He says, it's too much for me. I get terrible stomach aches. There's enough food for a bear. I'm a monkey. So he says, okay. He says, listen, I got an idea. The bear said, this is ridiculous. I'm a bear and I'm acting like a monkey. And you're a monkey and you're acting like a bear. This is crazy. Let's go to the manager of the zoo and tell him, let's switch. Olam hafachur yisi. Olam daf nun. You know, it's a backwards world. Let's switch it around. Yeah. I'll be a bear because I'm a bear and you'll be the monkey. Oh. An Einfall, you know? Big Kiddush. Okay, so they go to the manager of the zoo, and they say to the manager, listen, we have a proposition. Right? I'm really a bear, I've been playing the role of a monkey, this is a monkey, he's acting like a bear, neither of us have the right amount of food, it's a very difficult devota to play a part. Let's switch. I'll be the bear, and he'll be the monkey. So the manager says, absolutely. There'll be no such thing. So the bear gets really upset. He says to him, you're talking like a donkey. So he says, the truth is I am a donkey. The manager says, the truth is I am a donkey. He says, when I showed up and I applied for the position of a donkey, they said we already have a donkey, but we need a manager. So then the donkey was the manager. So the Sadik from Eretz Yisrael gave this mashal, said, Rahmana Litzlan, look what happens when the bear is a monkey, and the monkey is a bear, and the manager is a donkey. However, part of what happens when you start to learn Torah is that a person starts to figure out who they are, Be'etzem. We all play different roles over the course of our life, and that's good, and some of those roles change from time to time. First you're a son, and then hopefully you're a husband, and then you're a parent, and you're a Talmud, and maybe one day you're a Rebbe, and you play different roles. Everyone plays different roles. The Maharal of Prague says that if you look at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, the world stands on three things: Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasad. So the Maharal says something that's so obvious once he says it, but it's so deep. The Maharal says it's Pasha. Gemilas Chasadim is Ben Adam L'Chaver. Avodah, Tfila, Karbanos is Ben Adam L'Makom. So what's Torah? What's Torah? Avodah is Ben Adam L'Makom and Gemilas Chasadim is Ben Adam L'Chaver. So what's Torah? So Maharal says Torah is Ben Adam L'Atzmo. Which means that the biggest Torah in the world, and I don't mean to sound controversial, but in a certain sense, more important than you learning Bava Kamma is figuring out how you fit within Bava Kamma. Right? It's figuring out the Torah of oneself. It's figuring out what's my chelak in Torah, what's my tachlis, what's my, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu send me to this world at this time, born into this family, in this community? It's amazing. It's mamish nisim in a flux that we're all sitting around this table at this time. You realize that? Think about each one of us being born in different places at different times. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in some hashkacha protest type of way, pulled us all together tonight. Meir Shapiro used to say, and I say this often to my Talmidim in YU, Meir Shapiro says, look at a Daf Gemara. What a remarkable thing. You have Mishnayos in Eretz Yisrael, you have Gemara in Bavel, you have Rashi, you have Tosos, you have all of France, you have Germany, you have looked into the back of the Gemara, you have the Rosh and the Marsha, you have Poland, you have Mamish, the whole world. On one Daf Gemara. So I always say to my Talmidim, like, we'll be learning a Rashba. We'll be learning a Ritva. We're learning a piece from the Rambam. And I catch myself once in a while, I say, guys, do you realize how crazy this is? Do you realize how crazy that it is? Almost 1,000 years later, we're sitting here in Washington Heights, New York, and we're still trying to explain a Rambam? Do you realize how crazy that is? That we're talking about Rashi? That we still care about these things? Go back further. Abaya, Rava, Ravina, Ravashi, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish. It's crazy. It's so crazy that we're still connected to this. But we feel that somehow this teaches us who we are. When I understand Rabbi Yochanan, I start to understand myself better. Torah is Ben Adam La'atzma. There was a tzaddik named the Ostrovser. Rav Meir Yechiel Halevi of Ostrov, it's in Poland. He's a very, very big tzaddik. He fasted for 40 years of his life. Fasted by day, ate only at night. Very, very big genius. We have his svarim in Lamedus, and Sugyas, and Chalos, and Chuvos. Brilliant Chidushim. In Chassidus, on Torah, the Ostrovser says in a little piece in the back of one of his sarm. He says, it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, "Knei lecha chaver, acquire for yourself a friend." One of the beautiful things that happens in yeshiva is you make lifelong friends. That's also unbelievable hashgacha pratis. The fact that Rabbi Ifra and I ended up in yeshiva together in Tafshin Samach, it's an amazing thing. Had I made a different decision in high school, maybe I wouldn't even know who Rabbi Ifra is. Maybe I would have met him somehow along the way. But it'd be a different thing. So Knei Lecha Chaver, Chaverim are a very, very important part of one's religious growth. Having a Chaver that's like-minded, willing to grow together. But the Ostrovser says, maybe even a deeper pshat in Knei Lecha Chaver is Knei Lecha Chaver. Acquire yourself as a friend. Get to know, befriend yourself. Be a true friend to yourself. Asei Lecha Rav, a big part of yeshiva, is having a Rebbe. Someone to guide you, both in terms of halacha, in terms of hashkafa. So Asamis says in his writings on Pirkei Avos, Asei Lecha Rav, Asei Lecha Rav. Obviously with humility, a person's not his Rebbe. Right? But in a certain ability, a person has to be a Rebbe to himself. He has to want to educate himself. The same way the Rebbe so badly wants to give Torah to you, right? you have to make yourself a Rebbe. Take a chrayas for your own learning. Asei Lecha Rav, Knei Lecha Chaver. And of course, maybe the first words of Torah ever spoken. Rav Yosef Engel writes in one of his svarim, a brilliant, again, Polish gon. Halacha, Lamdis, Chassidus, unbelievable the amount of Torah that Rav Yosef Engel was pouring out. Deep, deep Torah in all areas of Torah. Rav Yosef Engel writes in one of his svarim that even though the first words of Torah that we really heard at Har Sinai was Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the truth is the first words of Torah ever spoken, in a certain sense, and he proves it, He says, really, the first words of Torah ever were Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Right, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha means get out of your comfort zone. Right, get out of everything that you know. Be willing to think openly. To be willing to listen. Approach the Torah with humility. Right, but again, the Alshech HaKadosh and so many other tzaddikim say, before Lech Lecha Me'artzecha is Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha doesn't just mean go for yourself, but it means Lech Lecha, go to yourself. I say Lecha Rav, Kenei Lechacha, Lech Lecha, get to know yourself. The Torah of self is the deepest Torah in the world. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusted each and every one of us with the Neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I give you a chelek elokam yimam. And Hashem believes in us so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even willing to take risks for us. What's the risk? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nase Adam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating man, He says, let us make man. Right? Rashi says, Hashem in His humility is asking the Eitzah of the Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us a lesson in humility. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu is writing those words, Nase Adam, let us make man. And he says, that's crazy. Let us make man. How many gods are there? But Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is misleading. The heretics are going to say there's more than one God. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Medrash, you just write. I'll deal. The heretics are going to cause trouble anyways. We'll find other issues to make trouble with. You just write, Nase Adam. Maybe it's a lesson in humility. Nase Adam to ask, if we show Eitzah, even Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kiviyachal show Eitzah, he asked others for advice. But the Yismach Moshe, or Moshe Teitelbaum, writes in the Sefer, Nasa Adam is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's call to each and every one of us. Hashem says, I gave you certain kochos hanefesh. I gave you a neshama, and you have a unique neshama. As Fasemis writes in Parshas Korach, in the name of the Chedush Arim, Im Ein Ani Li Mili, right? Doesn't just mean that if I don't take care of myself, then who should take care of me? It's not just a vardin being responsible, you know? Do your laundry, don't expect someone else to do it for you. But Im Ein Ani Li Mili, Fasemis says, in Ruchnius means, if I don't find my chelek in Torah, then no one else is going to find it. Every person in this room has chidushei Torah that Rav Chaim Kanievsky could never say. Because it may not nili mili. Because that's your chelek in Torah. And you're meant to say that. You're meant to be megala, that pshat. Right? That somehow Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Marsha and the Pnei Yeshua and everyone else, and the Aruch Lener and everyone else missed. Because that's your chelek in Torah. It may not nili mili. Kenei lecha chaver, asei lecha rav, lech lecha. Get to know yourself. So says the Yismach Moshe, Nasa Adam is a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, I gave you a lot of the picture. I gave you Milos and I gave you Chesronos. Right? And that's all part of who you are. But Nasa Adam, let's make man together. You and me, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to man, let's make man. Let's work together, let's do something awesome in my life. Not just to pass through and to never get to know myself. Right? That I spend my whole life as a bear living like a monkey or a monkey living like a bear. But to get to know Be'etzem, who am I? The Bein Adam La'atzmo of Torah, one of the three pillars upon which the world stands. I'll tell you a ma'isa for Chanukah. It's connected to this theme. But first I want to make a bracha on this delicious beverage. And before I do that, I want to tell you a Torah about drinking. Anyone here like coffee? Any coffee drinkers in the group? So I want to tell you a teaching I heard from my Rebbe, one of my Rebbeim, about coffee. There's Jews who can't start the day without a cup of coffee. Anyone want to admit to being that type of Jew? Okay, a couple in the room. Yeah, I need my cup of coffee in the morning, right? And in halacha, it's not like a chassidish azach, you know? In halacha, you're allowed to drink a cup of coffee before daven. That wakes you up, you should be energized for daven. Okay. There's an unbelievable teaching about a cup of coffee. You'll never forget it. And if you drink coffee, even if you drink other drinks, you'll remember this. But if you drink coffee, then really you'll remember this every time you make a bracha on your coffee. Rav David Karliner said, how do you make a cup of coffee? You wake up in the morning, yeah? You say, Modani. You say, Modani, you say, thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Modani is Gematria Kislev, it's the time of Lahodus and Lahalal. You wake up every morning, you think, ah, it's almost Chanukah. 116 Modani. Yeah. You get out of bed, you wash the Tilas Adam, maybe you wash the Tilas Adam in bed if you're so from. Wash the Tilas Adam in bed. Yeah. And then you get up and you make yourself, maybe it's your Chasatar, whatever it is, you say, make a cup of coffee. It's one of the first things you do to start your day before almost anything else. Right? How do you make a cup of coffee? Says Rav David Karliner, you go over to the sink and you fill up, let's talk in the old days, you know, you don't just push a couple buttons on your Keurig, you know? Like the old days when you actually have to do something to make a cup of coffee. Yeah, a little bit. So you go over to the sink and you fill up your kettle, right, with clear cold water. And then you put it on the stove and you boil it up, and then you have clear hot water. And then you pour it into a glass or a mug, whatever it is, and you mix in some dark coffee, you know? And you mix in the coffee, and all of a sudden, the water, which was first cold and clear, which then became cold, that became hot and clear, now becomes dark and hot. And then you pour in some milk, and it starts getting lighter again. And it starts getting colder again. It starts cooling off again. And then you start to mix in a little bit of sugar. which is maybe a question of halacha, if you can have sugar before that. Okay, you mix in a little sugar, and the coffee, which is bitter, starts to taste sweet. And then you take that cup of coffee in your hand. Right? And you say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam sha'kol niyah b'dvaro.
Amen.
What are you saying? I had a piece of ice. What are you saying? You're saying, Rabbona Shalom, I have all of life's experience in my hand. Tavi, you're never going to forget this part. I have all of life's experience in my hand. In life, there's going to be moments that are cold, uninspired. There's going to be moments that are hot, mamish on fire for the Rabbona Shalom. There's going to be moments, Rahman al-Islam, that are going to be bitter, and moments that are sweet. There are moments in life that are dark, right? Those days when you're just not feeling the sugya. And there's days that are light. The light of the menorah. Right? There's days that are illuminated. But you start your day, you take that cup of coffee in your hand, you say, Rabbona Shalom. Whether my life is going to be dark or light, whether it's going to be bitter or sweet, whether it's going to be hot or cold, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam sha'kol niyah b'dvaro. That if I live my life in accordance with your will, Rabbona Shalom, it's all good. And I'm going to find a way, hopefully, to have a life that's much more sweet than it is bitter, much more light than it is dark, much more hot with the slavas for the Rabbona Shalom than it is cold. But even on those days that are cold, and even on those days that are bitter, and even on those days that are dark, Rabbona Shalom, this is your will, and I'm going to find a way to cling to you despite those nisyonos. Amazing Torah, huh? That's an amazing Torah. Shakol niyabivar, that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exactly what you want. And if I start my day like that, then the day is always gevalik. Then the day is always gevalik. So let me tell you a maisa for Chanukah. There was a Jew from Yerushalayim, an impoverished Jew, who needed money. And he went to find some money. He went to find someone to help him. He's traveling the world looking for people to help him. He comes to Italy. Decides, I'm going to go tzedakah, collecting in Italy. He comes to Italy. He arrives on an Erev Shabbos. He has no clue where he's going. Trying to find the Jewish community. Like a real Yerushalmi Yid. Standing in Milan. And he's like looking around. All of a sudden, someone calls out to him from a carriage, "What's a Yerushalmi Jew like you doing in Italy?" And he looks up, and there's this Jewish, looks like a Erlich Yid, on a carriage. And he says, "I just arrived, and I'm trying to find the Jewish community." So he says, "Come, hop in. I'll show you to the Jewish community." This guy was a big gvir. He was the Jewish community. He wasn't the only person, but he was the Jewish community. So he says to this fellow, "Where are you staying for Shabbos?" So he says, "I have no idea." So he says, "Fine, good, stay by me." So he stays by this Jew for Shabbos. Now this poor Yerushalmi Jew has never seen a house like this in a million years. Never saw an estate, a mansion, this guy's living. He goes with him, Shul Friday night, he comes back with him, meets his wife and his children, a beautiful, beautiful family, B'nai Torah. And he's sitting at the Shabbos table, he's looking around this house, he's never seen paintings on the wall, and tapestries, and silverware, like nothing he's ever seen in his life. And then all of a sudden his eye gets transfixed on this like display case, this cabinet in the dining room. And he's looking at it, he's looking at these beautiful things on display, crystal vases and silver things and kiddush cups and all sorts of fancy stuff, silverware, all this fancy stuff. And he notices, like front and center on the middle shelf, is this broken glass flask. Like these broken pieces from a glass flask. An item that doesn't even look like it would be chashuv or valuable if it was whole. And he's looking, he's trying to figure out, what's this thing doing here? So finally the Baal Bas sees that he's transfixed on this display case. And he says, I bet you're wondering about the broken glass flask. So he says, yeah, I'm kind of curious. What is it? What's it doing here? So he says, it's a long story, but I'm happy to share it with you. So he says to the fellow, he says, here's my story. He says, I was born in Amsterdam. I grew up in Amsterdam. I went to yeshiva in Amsterdam. And he says, I assumed I'd spend all my life there. He says, 17 years old, my parents sent me to Italy. My grandfather was in Italy at the time, his health was failing, his business was struggling. My parents sent me to Italy to help my grandfather. Figure out how to help him out, and then I'd come back to Amsterdam. I get to Italy, helping my grandfather with the business. I'm a big shot, I'm a big entrepreneur, the business is turning around, I'm making a lot of money. Things are good, I'm still an observant Jew. My grandfather passes away, my parents send a message to liquidate the business, sell the business, take all the money and bring it back to Amsterdam. At this point, Shtikl Gavr, So he says, no, I'm going to stay here a little bit. He's growing the business and he's building the business and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know how it is sometimes with money. A person loses himself. Kochi va'otzim yadi. Yadayim yaday esav. He loses himself a little bit. And it starts off, of course, slowly. No one goes off the derech overnight. Usually not. But first, he misses a mitzvah, he's busy with the business, And missing a mischa leads to missing a shachris, right? Which leads to keeping the store open a little too late on Friday, which leads to chilul Shabbos before Hesya. And slowly, 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 he lost mamash everything. That is enough. Yiddishkeit gone. Just so happens, as time goes on, he happens to marry a Jewish woman, but more by chance than anything else, they're totally, totally irreligious. And years go by, and he's living in Italy, and he's doing big business. His whole world of Torah has been forgotten. He says one day he's standing on a street corner, talking to some of his chaverim at the time, and all of a sudden he sees a little boy sitting on the corner, sitting like a, you know, right on the other side of the street, crying his eyes out. Clearly a Jewish boy, and he sees this kid is bawling and bawling and bawling. And he looks up, he sees a kid sitting on the floor crying, he feels bad, he walks over. He walks over to the child and he says, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And the kid just keeps saying over and over and over again, "What am I going to tell my father? What am I going to tell my father? What am I going to tell my father? What am I going to tell my father?" So he says, "What happened? What are you talking about? What's wrong? What am I going to tell my father? What am I going to tell my father?" So what are you talking about? The kid keeps pointing to the floor. And he looks down and he sees on the floor, there's this broken glass flask and a puddle of oil. So he picks the kid up and he says, what's wrong? What is this? How can I help you?" He's a wealthy guy. He says, I can help you. "Kid, what am I going to tell my father? What am I going to tell my father?" So what is it? So the kid finally starts to, you know, come to a little bit. And in between his heaving and his sobbing, he says, "Tonight's the first night of Hanukkah. He says, my family's very poor. We save up all year so we can buy oil for Hanukkah. He says, my father's been saving up all year. My father always goes, it's a big thing. We go on Erev Hanukkah, we buy the oil. And I asked my father, I said, I'm a big boy now, you can trust me. Give me the money, I'll go buy the Hanukkah oil. My father said, I don't know, I'm nervous. What if you get caught up with your friend? You lose the oil, you drop it somewhere. He says, no, you can trust me, Abba. I'm going to get the oil for Hanukkah. Kid goes to the marketplace, hands over the money. He's a big boy now, you know, a big flask of oil. And he's hurrying home, so excited to present it to his father for Hanukkah. And he trips. And the oil goes flying out of his hand, shatters on the ground. And the kid's sitting there and he says, "What am I going to tell my father? What am I going to tell my father? I promised my father, what am I going to tell my father?" So the guy says, don't worry, I'm going to help you. And he picks up the boy, wipes away his tears, says, "Come with me, let's go back to the marketplace." Takes the kid by the hand, takes him back to the marketplace, buys him a bigger, better, mahadrim, you know, the best, Shem and Zayazach, a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful jar of oil. And he wraps it for him carefully and he says, "Good, take this home to your father." And the kid is overjoyed, he's smiling, he says, "Thank you so much, it means so much to me." And the boy runs off to his father. And the guy's walking back. And he gets to that spot, he sees the puddle of oil and the broken pieces of glass. And all of a sudden, it just starts like playing over and over and over in his head. "What am I going to tell my father? What am I going to tell my father? What am I going to tell my father?" He's thinking to himself, he says, "I didn't even know it was Hanukkah. I forgot it was Hanukkah. I've lost everything." And he kept putting in his mind, "What am I going to tell my father with a capital F? What am I going to tell Avinu Shebashamayim? How am I going to answer the creator of the world? That what? That I traded in a life of Torah mitzvahs for a couple more bucks to drive a nicer car, to have a bigger house." And he decided right then and there, at the very least, we're doing Hanukkah. He scoops up the broken pieces of glass, a little bit of oil left at the bottom, scoops up whatever he can, hurries home to his family, says to his wife and children, he says, "Listen, I know we've never spoken about this before. We're Jewish, and tonight is a special holiday for the Jewish people. It's Hanukkah, and we're going to light a candle. We're going to light a lamp." "Okay." The first night they gather around, they lit one candle. The next night they lit two candles. The next night they lit three candles. And slowly, slowly, this began the transformation, the return to Ben Adam La'atzma, to the Torah of self. And here he was sitting many years later in this beautiful, beautiful mansion, a big gevir, a real Ben Torah, surrounded by his wife, now a religious woman, his children, fine B'nai Torah, and this Yerushalmi Jew sitting at his Shabbos table. And he says, "You look around my house, you see all these beautiful things. None of this means anything to me." He says, "My most prized possession, that broken glass flask in the display case." He says, that's my whole world. He says, "It was that little bit of oil that once again rekindled my Jewish heart and allowed me to come back to Avinu Shebashamayim. What am I going to tell my father? I'm going to tell my father. I'm going to tell my father that I came back. I'm going to tell my father I lived a life of Torah and mitzvahs." Tzaddikim explained, as Farmer Kadoshim say, that the word nefesh, ner Hashem nishmat adam, nefesh is one of the words that we use for the Jewish soul. Discover oneself, to get in tune with the essence of oneself. Tzaddikim explained that nefesh is Rashi Tevos, ner, psila, shemen. Ner is the menorah, the candelabra. The pei is psila, the wick. And shemen, shin is the shemen, is the oil. Ner Hashem nishmat adam. When a Jew lights the menorah, when a Jew is staring at that candle, and a Jew is thinking, The Jew is thinking about the tachlis of his life. And Nitziv says an amazing thing. And Nitziv says that when Moshe Rabbeinu would get stuck on a difficult sugi, he'd walk into the Mishkan. I don't know where the Nitziv got this from. He would walk into the Mishkan, and he would stare at the menorah. If he had a teiku, a tzarachin, and gadol on the Gemara, he'd stare at the menorah, and then all of a sudden he would have this clarity in the sugya. So the Tziv writes in the Hamakdava and Chumash. And there's two kelim in the Mishkan that correspond to Torah. The Aron with the luchos is Torah Shachsav, and the menorah, the light of the menorah is Torah Shabbat. So Moshe Rabbeinu is working on a difficult sugya, he got stuck, he'd stare at the light of the menorah and it would clarify things. The menorah gives us clarity. So a deacon would sit by the menorah for hours and hours and hours, just looking, I don't know what they were seeing, but they were looking at those lights. It's stare and stare and stare. The Divrei Chaim, the Sanz Rav said, he says, I'm not such a Baal Madrega. You know, I only sit by the menorah for 6 hours. I only stare at the lights for 6 hours. I'm not like the Berditcher. The lady at the Berditcher would sit for 7 hours. I'm not such a Baal Madrega. I only sit and stare at the menorah for 6 hours. Only 6 hours. How about we should be able to do a half hour? But again, when you're staring at that light, you're looking at the Ner and the Psila and the Shem, and you're thinking about the Tachlis and the you're thinking about Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, right? And you're thinking about that Jew in Milan, who after a long period of time of being far away, looked at a light and he saw in that oil, he saw himself. And he saw the potential to come back to HaKadosh Baruch and to do a little something, to try, to just begin the process. No one becomes a tzaddik overnight. No one becomes a tzaddik overnight. But if you're willing to work, and you're willing to try, and you're willing to immerse yourself, like we said earlier, and you're willing to understand that a bear has to be a bear and a monkey has to be a monkey, and a Jew has to be a Jew. When Yonah's on the boat and the boat is shaking and tossing and turning, and they ask Yonah, Mama Lachtacha, what do you do for a living? What's your profession? Are you a bear? Are you a monkey? You're a donkey? You're a zookeeper? A manager? What do you do? What's your profession? What do you do professionally? Yonah answers, Ivri Anochi. My profession, my essence, what do? I do Judaism. I'm a Jew. That's what I am. That's who I am. That's what I do. Just end with a line that I love to quote from Rav Freifeld. Shlomo Freifeld Zatzal was once invited to a siyum. A group of Balei Tshuva were making a siyum on a Masechta for the first time in their life. It was a big, big simcha for them. They found their Torah, they found their chelek, they were getting closer to themselves, getting closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And they invited Shlomo Freifeld, the founder of Shari Yashiv, to come to speak. So he comes to the siyum and it's mamish, a big simcha. And Freifeld says, I'd like to paraphrase an address from Winston Churchill from 1940, 1941, during the Blitzkrieg over England. He says, Winston Churchill got up and gave a famous address to the people of England. He said, listen, whatever happens, just remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, you are England. So Freifeld said to these Jews, who are just beginning their return to Yiddishkeit, he says to them, listen to me. He says, Gevaldik, you made a siyum on a Masechta. Gevaldik, your first siyum in your life, it's amazing. But just remember, that this Torah that you're learning, like the Maharal says, Bein Olam La'atzmo. He says, I want to quote Winston Churchill, I want to paraphrase Winston Churchill. Remember. He said, remember. Wherever you go, whatever you do, wherever you are, right, just remember. You are Yiddishkeit. Right? You are Yiddishkeit. You are Torah. You are Yiddishkeit. This is the Jewish people right here. We're looking at it. The Jewish people is not like in Bnei Brak and Panovich. And this is also the Jewish people. The Jewish people, people around this table are going to define what Torah looks like in the world. What type of homes, what type of families, what type of Yiddishkeit is being practiced? You are Yiddishkeit. You don't just do Yiddishkeit, you don't just do mitzvahs. You are mitzvahs, you are Torah. K'nei l'cha chaver, asei l'chara, lech l'cha. So Amir Tzashem, you should use this time that you have in yeshiva, which is precious, precious time. I sometimes feel like I was lucky that I didn't get Shana Bet, almost, because it kept a certain she'ifa in my life, right? That despite not having Shana Bet, I was still going to be a firm guy, you know? I was going to make it. I'm still going to be interested in Torah, and I'm 36 years old, Baruch Hashem. I'm still interested in Torah. I don't know very much, but I'm still growing. And I'm still longing, and I'm still excited. Right? So Amir Tzashem, each and every one of us, should recognize the chelek of Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. It's an unbelievable bracha that you have to be sitting here in yeshiva, to have rebeim, to have chaverim. Yes, asei lecha rav kepshuto, k'nei lecha chaver kepshuto, lecha chamei artzecha kepshuto. You left your home, you left your comfort zone to come here. Right? But a lot of it's about laying a foundation of self, understanding who you are and what you are. Right? There's a lot of things in the world. You don't have to be a Jew in Milan who loses himself a big business. Right? There's a lot of things in the world that are vying for our attention and trying to pull us away. So Mir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow us. Like we started with the Klausenberger Rebbe. Why are there three different tracks for lighting the menorah? Because each person has to find his chelek. There's some Jews who are Ner Yishu Beso Jews. There's some Jews who are Mahajim and Mahajim Jews. Right? The Halacha says, Beis Shammai has a place, even by Ner Chanukah. You place your Ner Chanukah on the outside because you say, I'm not embarrassed of my Chelek. Whether it's Shas, Shas Mishnayos, Shas Gemara, Shas with Rashi, Shas with Tosfos. I work with a Rebbe, I work in a boys' high school, in addition to working at YU. I work with a Rebbe, his name is Rabbi Pesach Skolnik. He's one of the biggest Iluyim I've ever met in my life. Teaches in this boys' high school in Tinek. He just took a Dirshu test on 1500 block Gemara Rashi Tosfos. Imagine? Not open notes. Yeah. Now 1500. Okay. So that's his chiluk. I have to feel what? I have to be embarrassed of that. Maybe that's my chiluk too. Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm a Ner Yishu Beisel kind of Jew. Maybe I'm a Hajim and a Hajim kind of Jew. But if I'm honest and I try and I work hard and I do my part, right? And it's not a competition, which sometimes happens in yeshiva. The Klosterberger Rebbe says that the Bnei Yisasker says that you shouldn't say Al HaMulchamos and Al HaNisim. You shouldn't say Al HaMulchamos. So he says the Bnei Yisasker explains in his way, I'm going to explain in my way. Klosterberger Rebbe says, Chanukah, each person lights his candle in his way. Right? Each person in his own way. Don't say Al HaMulchamos. There's no Mulchamos on Chanukah. There's no Mulchamos. Of course there's a Mulchamos. I can shoot up, but there's no Mulchamos on Chanukah. Beisham and Beis-Hil are both right. They both have a chelek. They both have a place. The light of Torah is big enough for everyone. And so, Mirza Hashem, each of us should find our chelek. We should embrace our chelek deeply. And Mirza Hashem will be able to answer, Avinu Sheva Shemayim, what am I going to tell my father? What am I going to tell my father? You know, come back after 120 years, you come back to the Olam HaEmes, and you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I going to tell you? I'm going to tell you that I did my best. I'm going to tell you that I learned Torah with Hasamadah to the best of my ability. I davened with Kavana. I worked on my Midos. I conquered my Yitzhahara. I worked on my Shemira Seinayim. I was willing to immerse myself in Torah and mitzvahs. And then Amir Tashem, each and every one of us, will give tremendous nachas ruach to Avinu Sheva Shemayim. Yeah.
Yeah.